This morning, there's so much to say, but I do want to apologize because, Jackie, don't leave yet, please. I was wearing your name tag all morning. My name is not Jacques Dietrichson. For those of you that are new here, sorry, this is Jackie Dietrichson. No, I'd like to forget my name right about now. I'm going to identify one of the tallest men in the room. We have a lot of tall men here. I don't know why, but Eric Mersch is here. He is our missionary. He and his wife, Kylie, at Towson State Mary. Eric, just stand up for a sec so they can see your beautiful face. One of the finest young men I know. Thank you for your service, buddy. I just want them to see what crew looks like at Towson State in Maryland. He and his sister both are missionaries, and Alyssa Esquivel is Eric's sister. So good to see you, and I don't forget you, and I read all your letters, and thank you for your service. I would say that first of all, I want to thank you so much. Every year, there's so much to say on this subject. We try, in spite of the way our flesh is feeling, not to say much about money here. So the end of the year comes up, and we said, as you know, very little. And I was getting pressured by people that love me perhaps more than I love myself to say something. And I said, we're not going to. And at the end of the year, enough came through where we were able to pass our banking requirements as a church with a mortgage on it. Thank you for your amazing generosity. Just in the last week, I think something like $160,000 came in. So thank you so much, unbidden, except the tap on the heart by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your obedience and your sacrifice. It helps us to keep the lights on and keep people paid. Thank you. Yes, we thank the Lord. Yep. Last week, I started out with my kind of cute Superman, Superboy opening. This is not cute. This is a difficult passage, but very apropos, very appropriate to our time. Jesus has been born. We celebrated that. So was his cousin, John, the son of Zechariah, John the Baptist. And this is John's moment on history's stage. He was a flaming believer. Jesus said to the greatest prophet who ever lived, but his spark and his light only lasted a moment. It's hard to talk about this in reality, to get real, that these guys just flat died. They just died. They can't come on the stage. They say something to us that's difficult to say, and yet wondrous also, in that ultimately it's the best news we can possibly have. And wicked men destroy them, kill them. So, gloomy opening, and it'll be gloomy for a while. We'll end with a voice speaking from a cloud and an encouragement. And we will have good news here this morning, but the pathway to the good news is through a word that is pronounced repentance. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Herod Antipas had married Herodias, and John rebuked him for it. Now, I have historical passages I've spent a lot of time going over, and because of the complexity of the marriages, if you can call them marriages, of the royalty of this hour and in this region, it is almost impossible to untangle it. One writer, William Barclay, said this: the relationships involved in this marriage, speaking of Herod Antipas and Herodias, are extremely complicated. Herod the Great was a much married to man. Herod Antipas, who married Herodias, who arrested John. And it goes on like this for paragraphs. The important thing for us to know and understand is that this was one crooked group of leaders. They were liars to the depth of their being. The high priests were corrupt. They were part of the party that put the Lord Jesus to death. The emperor of this particular universe, we love Rome because of the sternness and majesty and grandeur of its culture. And that there they were these stand-up guys that had a moral code similar in certain aspects to the law of God, in certain aspects. So they were to be admired for their strength and the rigidity of the discipline of their soldiers. But Tiberius Caesar here started out as a Roman soldier and a general, and he was popular and he was an orator. And when he becomes emperor of the whole thing, he rests on his laurels and becomes a tyrant. A masterfully wicked man, and underneath him, his representative in this particular culture was a man whose name was Pontius Pilate. And we all know that this tough soldier and cruel man bailed out on the Lord Jesus Christ, even having prophetic insights from his wife who told him not to touch, not to mess with this righteous man. And so we enter a culture here where the main tetrarch, and tetrarch means a quarter. Each of these men that were installed originally were given their jobs by their dad, Herod the Great. The boys were all corrupt, and one of them kind of dropped by the wayside. Three of them were tetrarchs. They were supposed to have a quarter of the thing, and the one that we're going to look at is Herod Antipas. Now, it's not surprising Herod Antipas became a Cretan. It is not surprising that he went to his brother's house and is there with his brother's wife and gets along quite well with her. So well, in fact, that he elopes with his brother's wife. The fact that he happens to be married kind of didn't enter his mind. And also the fact that his brother's wife was Herod Antipas's niece. This is craziness. To any culture of that time, this was outrageous. But the place of power often becomes a mixed message of things, doesn't it? Power corrupts, and Lord Acton said, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And these guys were as corrupt as they could be. This is the world John the Baptist comes into. And the reason I bring it up is because it indicates to us why he said the very tough words that he said. This king has married his brother's wife, his own niece, because she was out of the family as well. Her father was somehow related directly to Herod Antipas. Now, into this bubbling bouillabaisse of crazy comes a man who is quite different. You'll remember his life. He was brought into being miraculously, like our Savior. Prophetic utterance was given to his dad in the temple service. It was so shocking, and the incident was so amazing that his father was struck dumb. His mother, who was not old enough to have, was too old to have children, had this beautiful baby in a majestic birth. And this child grows up and kind of disappears into the desert around the Jordan. He's a outdoor guy. Everybody kind of pictures him as a guy in a beard and all this. I don't know about all that. What I do know that God's hand was on him. God's hand was on him. And he refused to bow to wicked kings. He refused to back off to wicked people, similar to John Wesley. John Wesley, when he preached in England, which was a nasty country, Winston Churchill says of it, "My people are a cruel people." He just said it. He loved England. He was all about England. But they are cruel. So are we all apart from Christ. And Wesley is there preaching the love of Jesus to people and say, you've got to repent. You have a cancer cell in your body that's called sin, and it's going to destroy you. You have to have it excised. And the rocks begin to come in. Trumpets and drums are played to silence him. They'll do anything to shut him up. His wife quit traveling with him. It was so scary being with him when the rocks hit him in the head and the blood comes down. But as he continued to preach, it broke many men's hearts. And people believe that the English escaped the bloody French Revolution by being converted. And the people got jobs and did the right thing and began to grow economically and spiritually. And it saved the Britain of Wesley's time. Well, the Jewish people in this instance, in this era, were every bit as bad as the Brits. Worse, in that they were made to be a light to the Gentiles. They were to be a reflection of somehow the character of God in their lives. And their leaders were corrupt, and so they had become corrupt. And so John, this steely-eyed prophet, goes into all the region around the Jordan proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now you see that part there that we all like, for the forgiveness of sins. Oh, the very concept to the sensate being that is in touch with his reality is so refreshing. It is like a cup of cold water to a thirsty man. It's amazing to hear that phrase, but there's a precursor. It's repentance. Now we say it starts with a change of mind. It starts mentally with how we think about ourselves and what we're doing. And then it starts to work itself out in our will, and it translates to different action. It can't just be a concept in your head. It can't just be a group of people going to be bathed in water and coming out exactly the same. That is not the gospel. There is no good news there. We need power from on high to change. So John goes into the region around the Jordan proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying. I like the term crying. It's an English word, but I like to think both tears were flowing and deadly truth, deadly to human depravity, was being spoken to a people. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. He is the advance man for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When kings went out, they had people go out and tell the people to gather crowds that they were on their way. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. And all flesh will see the salvation of the Lord. That is what the prophet prophesied. And this was the advance man he pointed to. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him. Now listen to this. Here's how to win friends and influence people. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that's to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Don't just tell me you've repented. Bear fruits. Let your inside change so your outside will. Let the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you in such a way that you're changed irrevocably and endlessly. You don't have to do it yourself. In fact, you can't. The Holy Spirit will come alongside you. But I am preparing a way for him. It starts with repentance, a turn of heart, a turn of mind, a turn of body, and then a turn of will. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able to, from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. What was happening, and the reason he's saying you brood of vipers, it's not that God didn't love those people. You use whatever tool is necessary in a situation. You don't use a screwdriver when you need a hammer. And what was going on here is the people were very self-satisfied. They were excited about being baptized. They were excited about having their sins forgiven, but He knew spiritually they weren't ready to repent at all. In fact, they were trusting in their forebears, their relationship to Father Abraham, the progenitor, the beginning of all the Jewish people, that they were related to him, that they were Jews called by God to be a very unique nation, and therefore God's favor was upon them. The only problem was they were, from God's vantage, vipers. You see, where there was a fire in the desert, it burned up everything around it. And these snakes would start to slither out of the areas they were hidden in. So John tells them the way it is. I have had the privilege of doing some interventions, and it's very difficult. And I can't spend much time on this, except you go to someone with his friends and family that love him and say, buddy, we love you so much, but you have a terrible alcohol problem. And then you go through the things, and one was a surgeon in one of my stories. This is not my personal story. I'm not telling those. But the surgeon, under the influence, had hurt somebody. And that was the last thing they said to this viper. And that's what turned the key of his heart and made him weep and made him go and get help and change. That's called repentance. That's in a moment the prophetic soul of his family came together and said, you've got to stop. You've got to do something. That's what John is doing. And he is simply picturing what reality is for these people. He says to Herod Antipas, the king, you have no business with that woman. And he's put in prison for it. That is not repentance. That is the talk and heart of a viper. Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, from these stones God is able to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Scary talk. Fire. I was a child in Quantico, Virginia. I'm in the basement of an apartment. Those of you that have been in these places back in the day, there were concrete floors. And in this era, heat was provided through giant pipes. It was hot, live steam heat in the giant pipes. And I walked barefoot, my first mistake as a three-year-old, across a floor in the basement. It just looked like a normal concrete floor. You would think it would be cool. You get out there a certain distance, and you begin to dance. But you're not dancing because it feels good. You're dancing because your feet are burning off. I didn't know whether to go forward or backward. I didn't know what to do to save myself from the predicament I'm in. Somehow I ran or did whatever to get off it. And the next thing I know, my feet were expanding with blisters all over it. They had to cut them open. They had to release the pus. That's a gross word. But our sins, our culture sins, our leadership sins are gross. It's just the truth. I don't remember a time when I felt, I don't think this is political so much as telling the truth. There's so much lying going on in this culture. It's disturbing. We have become the vipers, not the Church of Jesus Christ, not the blood-bought family that's trying to follow Christ, but we have a people out here that can't hear the truth, apparently. But one man, and maybe it's you, one girl, maybe it's you, will get in there and be that person. What are they to do, the ones that are serious that are running to John? Here's what happens. The axe is laid to the root of the trees. He said, there's a time of judgment coming. Do something. It may not be till you go and meet the Lord. It may begin right now. I believe that hell begins right now. I've experienced some of it. Have you? In this room, forgive me for my intensity. I'm passionate about this because I think we're in a dangerous place with all our prosperity and stuff. I've never seen anything quite like this. But I'm believing God because people are coming to Christ again. Drops of rain are starting. I think people are going, I can't fix myself. I'm getting crazy with my crazy TV computer, with my lies, with the stuff that's going on with my illicit relationships. It's killing me. And then someone talks to them about Jesus. And repentance is part of the gospel good news. It's called a fearless moral inventory. It's calling, look at yourself as you are and be honest with yourself and ask God to help you. Pluck off this bad fruit and that bad fruit and that bad fruit before he takes an axe to the root of the tree. And the crowd said to him, what then shall we do? Now, I'm going to go through this very briefly. It's very simple. I can do it very simply. Do the next right thing. And he answered them, whoever has two tunics, share it with someone who has none. And whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. They were among the most wicked. They were stealing from people constantly. It was a proverb that they were evil. And said to him, teacher, what shall we do? As if they didn't know. And he said to them, collect no more than you're authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, I am a total soldier guy. My son says, you think every Marine's a Christian, Dad? I wish. But these are tough men, and sometimes, like some of us, they're greedy. And he says here, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation. They could be cops. My son's a cop. Not by threats or false accusation. And be content with your wages. Don't love money. It'll tear your soul apart. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ. You see, there's a suggestion later in the scripture that there were powerful works going on as well, miraculous stuff going on. This guy was extremely unusual, and that he stands up against anyone, fearless. Who does that? And yet this guy did. John answered them, I baptize you with water. They're wondering if he's the Christ. And some men would like to take on that name. They would like to be the big guy in the room. The Messiah's coming. Why not pretend it's me? Why not lie to them? There's none of that in this man. He says, I baptize you with water. This common element. But he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, and the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. A winnowing fork was a paddle of some kind that they threw up the stalk and all the parts of wheat. And the weight of one part of the wheat thrown up into the wind, the good stuff would drop to the ground in one place, and the chaff would be blown away. And he's picturing people like that, and he's picturing a final judgment, and he's picturing a horrible judgment for those who continue to do wrong, evil, liars, cheats, thieves, the sexually immoral, all of these types will be separated. Suggestions, symbolic or absolutely real, or more real than the symbol, a lake of fire, a lake of fire prepared not for people, but for the devil and his angels. And yet those who reject the Lord, who live the life for the devil, they will be found there. That's what the Bible says. Wish I could tell it differently. I don't know how to lie. Because I repented a long time ago, and I asked God to help me. His winnowing fork is in his hand. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news. But to Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened. The people have come. Both the vipers, hopefully, they got a clue. Those that had done wrong heard a word that says, basically, no matter what your occupation, stop doing things you know are wrong and do the next right thing. That's all he said to them. It wasn't a terrifying program. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden light. He says, just be honest at work. You know, that's all. Just don't steal from people. How hard is this? Reflect the glory of my son who is honest and true. Tell the truth like I'm doing, meaning John the Baptist. And then we see Jesus coming to be baptized. Now, if baptism is only the symbol, of cleansing, which it is wonderfully so, and of death, burial, and resurrection, which it is wonderfully so. I believe the reason Jesus was buried in the waters of baptism and rose up was he's a leader. He's a servant leader. Do not follow those who do not serve. Do not follow those who do not serve and set an example. And sometimes with humans, it has to be an example of humility. I got that. I was wrong. But with the Lord Jesus, he says, I'm asking you to amend your ways. I'm asking you to repent of what you know you shouldn't be doing. He's saying, I have power to make you new and alive. And he comes up out of the water, and a dove descends, or a symbol of some type that reminded them of a dove. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. At the beginning of our passage, Luke, in very particular detail, tells us about kings and all these people. He lines that up. Historians, Josephus, and Roman historians say what he said is true. He is an honest witness. And here he says the Holy Spirit comes on this man, settles on him like a dove, and he hears a voice from heaven. You are my beloved son. With you I am well pleased. I want a dad like that. And he is like that. And all of this is about love. Parent, you know, there's a time you say to your son, son, I love you, I'll love you forever, I believe for great things from you, but this has to go. It's tearing you apart. Ebenezer Scrooge is dragging those chains of stuff behind him. And the visitors come to him like angels, and they say, this stuff has got to go. This is what your life really looks like, you viper. But to have freedom and a lightness in your life, it doesn't come by the works of the law and just behaving. It comes by coming into the waters of baptism, representing death, turning your life over to Jesus to say, have thine own way now, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I'm waiting. Yield it and still. Take me, Lord, make me what you want me to be. That's what this story is about. We know later in chapter 7, it is noted that this boy, I love him after reading this. I mean, this is an incredible hero, this John the Baptist. Talk about a stand-up guy. They take him and, you know, they cut his head off. Cut his head off with a sword. I want you to know that he didn't bow to them. He didn't bow to the governmental authorities. He didn't bow to the kings. He didn't bow to that sword. But he said, when the Messiah comes, and it's Jesus, I cannot even touch the laces of his shoes. I am not worthy to crawl in front of him. He would stand before kings, but before the King of Kings, he humbled himself. It's an amazing story. Jesus, thou art my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. The story of the greater good news of the kingdom of God coming to a land begins. Have you received the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Have you walked close to him? Do you know that he loves you? Do you know that he wants to call you his child? And he's worthy of not only of your praise and adoration, but of your friendship. You can walk with him. The story here, and I will conclude here, is the story of a relationship. It's not simply the word of God. It is the relationship that is described in the word of God, of God speaking to you and you speaking to him. The word of God came to John the Baptist, and he goes out to the people. God wants to talk to you. God loves you. Our people out here are beloved by the Lord, for God so loved the world that he sent his son. Our job is to be little anointed ones, to be Jesus Christ where we are. I know I repeat the message, but I really have no other message. I am concerned that people will perish. I am concerned they'll go to hell. I can't stop them, but I can grab their ankle and fight and tell them the truth if I get a shot at them. And I can't do it myself, nor could John. Disciples came along, and then massive disciples. And a world has been changed, but not enough and not yet. And your dear country needs prayer. Let's pray together. Lord, we would not be compulsive, we would not be anxious, we would not be any of those things. But show us the next right thing to do. For anyone here who needs to repent, we don't judge them, Lord. We know what it is to be vipers. But we also know what it is to be born again. And to hear you say, you are my son, my daughter. You're my girl. Your father wasn't. He was mean to you. He was cruel to you. He was a viper. Forgive him. I am your father. Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Lord, come upon this people. Thank you for their friendship. Thank you for their kindness and generosity. Lord, you have put your spirit upon them. Help them to walk into their legal practices, into their medical environments, and be that guy and that girl. Come upon them in an amazing way to at least help them to do the next thing. And even if no one says it, Lord, let them hear the applause of heaven and the well done from you. I ask that in Jesus' name. And if you've not received him, he's here right now saying, say to him, have mercy on me, a sinner. He will hear that prayer. He will save you. He will make you whole if that's what you want. But it starts with repentance.
At this time, you can continue in an attitude of worship and quiet. And we're going to play a song, and this is just a chance for you to reflect.